You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Thursday's racing podcast from William Hill. My name is Jack, and joining me to take a look at Thursday's cards is Kevin O'Malley. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, Jack?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Yeah, good. You're a very busy man looking ahead to all the weekend's action, and we'll touch on that shortly. But on the Racing Post, James Doyle is not the man who is definitely going to ride all of Sidebin Soror's first choices any longer.
Yeah, it seems that Mr. Ferguson is shaking up things at Godolphin and trying to ensure that the right jockeys are going on the right horses. But it does seem a little bit puzzling that a jockey of James Doyle's ability has been not overlooked per se. They're still saying that he's a major part of the team, and I'm sure he will be getting lots of rides for Sidebin Soror. But yeah, they've basically said that they want to get the best jockeys and the jockeys that suit the horses best, which in a way is a little bit of a cop-out in some ways, because James Doyle is a top rider. He can sit on any horse and do a fantastic job. But hey, that's the way it is.
Yeah, they seem to be using a William Buick as well for a few rides in the near future.
Yeah, well, he's the other retained rider that they have. But, you know, looking at some of the jockeys that have been riding for Bin Soror, the likes of Shane Gray, Pat Smullen have had a ride. Harry Bentley's had rides in recent days. Even Daniel Tudhope, he'd be another one, a top rider that they'd be looking to for more rides, certainly around the more northern track. So they've got lots of options there. I'm sure that James Doyle, he's a young jockey. He's got loads of ability. He's got the world at his feet. That he won't be out in the darkness, that's for sure. He won't be short of rides.
No, I was going to say, I don't think he'll be short of suitors lining up at his door to try and book him for various rides.
No.
Been a few changes there, as you say. John Ferguson, who we won't be seeing as a trainer any longer over the jumps, but yeah, he seems to have made his mark there, doesn't he?
Yeah, indeed. Well, he's a very intelligent bloke. I mean, we know that he was upset to have had to stop training. We know that he enjoyed having the jumpers there. He was getting lots and lots of fantastic flat horses going jumping, and on the whole, they were doing a very good job, but they weren't making a massive impact at the bigger festivals. Maybe that was going to come in seasons to come, and it's a shame that us jump fans won't get to see if he ever did get one of these ex-flat horses from Godolphin to turn into a champion hurdle type. It wasn't to be. Godolphin have bigger and more important plans for Mr. Ferguson, and you know, best of luck to him and the operation. They're very important in the world of racing, so we want to see them. We want to wish them all the success.
Certainly are, and they'll no doubt have a few runners at this weekend's meeting. Frankie Dettori has been playing down the chances of Sacred Act in the Racing Post today, saying that he's maybe not as experienced as some of his rivals, but he still remains the favourite for the Cambridgeshire.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that. The Cambridgeshire is always full of experienced horses, experienced handicappers with high marks coming into the race. But Sacred Act is very lightly raced. He's a five-year-old, so considering he's a five-year-old, he's very lightly raced. He looked very good at Sandown when winning last time out. He has acquired some very useful experience en route to here. You know, he looks just the type to run a really, really big race here. From a mark of 93, so he's a worthy favourite for a top yard with Frankie up in the saddle. He's riding better than ever. So, you know, he's worthy of his place at the top of the market. You know, he's going to need to up his game, that's for sure. But that mark of 93 surely doesn't represent the ceiling of his ability.
No, you'd think not. Sacred Act is priced up currently at 11-2 on the William Hill website. If you go onto the horse racing tab, click on future races, and there you can find three of the races priced up for this weekend: the Cambridgeshire, the Cheveley Park and the Middle Park as well.
Glance back to the Cambridgeshire very briefly. The two to mention: Bronze Angel, who's won the race twice in the past. It'd be great to see him run a big race. Marcus Tregoning has said he's working well, but it is a big ask. Another dark horse to mention briefly is Bravo Solo. Marco Botti's horse hasn't been seen since coming second in the Lincoln earlier on the season, but he could return to action. He'd be a big player. Moving on to the Middle Park, as you say, yes, Blue Pint. What a seriously impressive horse he was in the Gimcrack last time out. produced a really, really good speed figure. He beat Mukaris there, and the last line. The last line is one of the best yardsticks of two-year-old form this season, and he absolutely thrashed them as if they weren't even there. Intelligence Cross is another one in the race. You know, he was impressive in a Group Three at the Curragh last time out, so he has to be respected. He's got lots of experience as well. Very tough juvenile, tough colt. And speaking of toughness, we think Maymass might go there as well. He's had a busy time of it. If he does run, he's sure to make his presence felt. But overall, the weight of evidence suggests that if Blue Point can produce anything like that Gimcrack performance, he's going to be really difficult to beat.
Yeah, you think so, wouldn't you? Maymass is in the betting at the moment at 9-2. If Maymass does turn up, can we see an upset?
We can expect it wouldn't be an upset if he won, certainly not. He's one of the best colts around for sure. He's going to be retired at the end of the season, go straight to stud, because connections feel he won't make a three-year-old. He's not the biggest, he's not the scopiest, but he's damn talented, that's for sure. So it'd be no surprise if he was right on the premises, but he might just be exposed to improving two-year-olds at this stage of the season.
Okay, that's the Middle Park. The final race we're going to look at before we get on to Thursday's cards is the Cheveley Park. Now, I'm sure, you like me, you've been reading the paper for the last, what feels like, couple of weeks. Bullish quotes from the trainer about the favourite here, Lady Aurelia.
I'd be bullish if I was training her, yeah. That's for sure. She's an absolute machine. She's huge as well. You know, a typical Wesley Ward, 2-year-old filly. She was imperious in the Queen Mary at Royal Ascot. She returned to action in the pre-morning last time out. She looked a little bit bogged down by the ground that day, but she managed to grind it out. She won. She looked good. And, you know, Wesley Ward is suggesting that she's ready to produce her best performance to date in the Cheveley Park. If that's the case, Queen Kindly, this amazing daughter of Frankel, who won the Lowther Stakes, has a lot on her plate. But Queen Kindly is seriously talented in her own right. When she won the Lowther Stakes last time out, she was really impressive that day. And she beat two very, very good fillies in the shape of a Roly Poly and Fair Eva, another daughter of Frankel, who went off odds on that day. But Queen Kindly was in no mood to get beaten that day. She hit the front. She battled on really resiliently. She knows her job. She's improving. And she's really, really fast. So for me, that's the matchup of this whole meeting, Lady Aurelia versus Queen Kindly. I cannot wait to see how that one plays out. My money, I'm not sure, what are the prices, Jack?
Well, Lady Aurelia has actually been backed in a little bit since we last looked. 8-11.
Okay.
And 3-1 for Queen Kindly.
You know, I'd probably take that 3-1 Queen Kindly. Just she probably should be a pint or so shorter than that. And I'm sure come the day she probably will be clipped in a little bit. But 3-1 is a decent value price, because Queen Kindly represents probably the best form we've seen on these shores this season. That Queen Mary performance aside from a filly. So, yeah, it's a fantastic match. I can't wait to see how it plays out.
The way you're talking about them there, you would think that 8-11 and 3-1 would be a little closer, like you say, maybe a point or two each way.
Yeah.
But wait and see. But Queen Kindly, 3-1 currently. Then you've got Roly Poly at 6-1 and Holy Cat at 16s, 25 bar after that. So there are some races at the weekend. Of course, nearer the time, all of the races at the Cambridgeshire meeting will be priced up. But we're going to look at the first day at Newmarket, and we're going to start with the 3:40. Shortly look at the 4:15 and the 4:50 as well. And we've got a race from Pontefract. But first, what do we make of this 3:40 race?
Yeah, it's a race that's got several talented and unexposed juveniles in the field, but I think it revolves around Hugo Palmer's Escobar and Aidan O'Brien's White Cliffs of Dover. The latter named colt by Warfront, trained by Ballydoyle, by Aidan O'Brien, built on his Curragh debut to win quite takingly an ace at over seven furlongs last time out. He's a really good moving horse. He quickened away very smartly up that Nace Hill. And he posted a pretty useful speed figure in the process, but I think he needs to improve considerably to match the form of Escobar's listed win at Newbury last month, where he readily powered away from a more experienced rival that day on only his second career start. He has entries in the Dewhurst and indeed in the Derby. He's clearly very well regarded, interestingly bred, being by famous name. Middle distance performer for Dermot Weld. That Newbury race produced an excellent speed figure. If he replicates that in the 3:40 at Newmarket on Thursday, he's the one to beat for sure.
Okay, that's the Tattersall Stakes then at 3:40 on Thursday at Newmarket. We move on to the next race on the card, which is the Jockey Club Rose Bowl. It's a listed race. It was formerly known as the Fenwolf Stakes. There are 10 runners currently at the time of recording here. Where would your money be going?
Yeah, a very interesting and open race over the two-mile trip. Several likeable campaigners here. Fun Mac, it was a very talented horse when he produces his best. He was really struggling to find form until winning a conditions race at Salisbury last time out under Jim Crowley. He loves it around Salisbury. He's unbeaten there. He's yet to visit Newmarket, so this will be his first trip to Newmarket. So we'll get to see if he handles the track. Apart from that, his latest effort was a big step up in the right direction at the back end of the season. He could be improving at the right time of the campaign. And a repeat of that run at Salisbury would see him go close. Seymour was second again last time out. He finished fifth in Ebor on the back of an agonising defeat in the Northumberland Plate. He really does deserve to get a win on the board, Seymour, before the season is out. He just could be vulnerable to an improver. The one I'm going to take a chance on, at probably a bigger price, as David Simcock's Gold Member. He's a three-year-old, so gets some handy allowances here. He's reported to be quite a difficult horse to get beat. Indeed, he is a big scopy horse, so he's quite difficult to get fit at home, but he can be expected to build on his efforts that he's shown so far this season. He's unexposed as a staying prospect, at least, and I'm happy to put him up as a dark horse each way now that he takes the step up to 2 miles.
Yeah, Gold Member then for David Simcock and Oisin Murphy in the 4:15. Which is the Jockey Club Rose Bowl at Newmarket. Right, 35 minutes later, we take a look at the 4:50 and all good races on the card. But we've chosen this one, which is a handicap, is a class 2 for horses rated between 0 and 100. And yeah, a nice size field as things stand with 9 going here.
Yeah, there's a solid mix of kind of experience versus potential here. Appeared is likely to be towards the head of the betting. He was impressive in winning a 20-runner handicap at York back in May in a good time. He went off a well-backed favourite to follow up that over the course and distance just 10 days later, but he flopped that day. He hasn't been seen since, but reappears from a mark of 91, which is still very workable for this son of De Bowie, and he has to be considered a very likely winner of the race, Jack. William Hunter comes here in a hat-trick. He had another good win last time out at Ascot, but he hasn't yet impressed himself on the clock, and I think this is a much tougher race than he's encountered to date. One I've been following for a long time, or some time at least, since last season, and one I'm going to put up as a selection is Andrew Balding's Man Look. He's a big and backward type by Naef. He's still learning how to race properly. He won 2 races on the bounce at Bath and Chester, which are not courses you associate with big burly types that he is, but he managed to get those wins on the board anyway. He ran poorly 2 starts back, but he went to Sandown last time out over 10 furlongs. He finished 2nd there. It was a step back in the right direction. He's moving back up to 1.4 mile, which I think is going to be more his trip, certainly 1.4 mile, 1.6 mile in due course. I think 1.4 mile tomorrow is going to suit him, and I expect him to run a big race at a decent price.
Okay, they're the 3 races we're going to look at. Newmarket, we're now heading to West Yorkshire for a race at Pontefract. This is the 4 o'clock. It's a handicap. It's for horses rated between 0 and 1.05, and yeah, this doesn't look a bad field either.
Again, yeah, a cracking race for Ponty. Shabib was progressive earlier in the season, but was ultimately disappointing last time out when we saw him in the Bahrain Trophy at Newmarket earlier on in the year. He's had a break since early June, returns to action on a fair mark of 100, but there are questions to answer for Roger Varian's colt. Memorial Day is certainly an interesting horse for Godolphin. He displayed plenty of promise in 2015, but he hasn't been seen for the thick end of a year, and it remains to be seen how forward he's going to be for this return run. The interesting one for me in the race, and indeed the selection that I'm going to put up for the 4 o'clock at Pontefract, is Luca Comani's El Vip, who won a Doncaster Maiden in July in pretty good style. He followed that up with an excellent effort last time out in 4th behind Lord Ben Stack in a quality handicap earlier this month. That was against several seasoned and experienced horses, and that was only his 2nd start on the track, so it was a really, really good effort that day. And I think if he can build on that, a mark of 90 is sure to represent a pretty lenient handicap mark for him to go to war with, and I think he'll go very close. Jamie Spencer gets on board the horse for the first time. He's been a jockey in very good form at the moment. He's had 7 winners from his last 37 rides in the last 14 days. So it's all pointing to a big run from El Vip.
El Vip, then, the least experienced in the field, but the selection for Kevin in the 4 o'clock at Pontefract. Thank you for all your selections.
Thank you, Jack.
And good luck with all your bets. Of course, all the podcasts can be found on the William Hill website. Click on the podcast page and you can listen at your leisure. Racing Podcast will be back for Friday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.